Welcome back to hour number two of the Sane Asylum, number 173. It is September 10th, 2023. Last couple of years, I covered 9/11. I'm so disgusted by the fact that 22 years later, most people still are unwilling to acknowledge who really did it, which was the Jews and the dual citizen Shabbos Goy, like the traitor Donkey Dick Cheney and the traitor Rumsfeld and yada yada. So you know what? The other people cover that. Let's cover the present. And so I'm joined by a brilliant young guy, Zach from Logos Revealed, and we're going to open up the phone lines. Coming up in 1 hour is the king of Sunday night, the one and only Robert Ravolt and Incendiary Radio. Hopefully Robert's feeling better. I know he got dosed with a pretty nasty bug, and he has to deal with a lot of vaccinated people at his job and even within his family, sadly. And so, you know, there is such a thing as shedding, sadly. So hopefully we're friends, so I get messages from him. Hopefully he's feeling better, and he's going to be able to do a show tonight because he does a great show. All right, the number to call in, 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252, 512-248-8252. And the first caller is a gentleman I know, a paisan, Chance from West Virginia. Chance, what's on your mind? Welcome.
Yes, hello, Giuseppe. You done did it again, brother.
What did I do?
You got a good guest there. Now, Zach Meister, rock on. You know, it's great news to hear that a young man like you is picking up the reins from us old farts. Really, now. You know, G-Man, I used to tell all the women I was with, in my earlier days that listening to Carlos Santana play guitar was better than sex. And that's kind of how I feel now. I'd be proud to have this young man as a grandson. You know,
no kidding, absolutely.
Really now. I'm only like...
Oh, hey, Chance, let me jump in for a second. How about Santana coming out and saying Tranny should go back in the closet, man? Salute to Carlos for not going along with that woke, degenerate bullshit.
Well, I always loved... He's my favorite guitarist. Now, you know, I've been fighting this crap and these pricks for over 33 years now. You know, but now just fighting the everyday challenges at my age, you know, it's getting tiresome now on this aging body. You know what I mean? And it's good to hear that a young man like this young man you have as a guest inspires me. It really does.
Oh, amen, Chance. And I not only Zach, but, you know, the White is Right, Flood, White Tuber, man, there's a bunch more. These are young guys who get it, and they're he's a little older, middle-aged in his 40s, Michael the Truth Machine Weaver. And, of course, Handsome Truth is remarkable. He's in his 40s. So there are more and more people waking up. And that's what we need. We need the young white men to become nationalists.
God bless you, Zach Meister. You know, from what I hear about this Handsome Truth dude, now I don't get to hear him because I don't have the internet or any of those fancy phones. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
From what I hear, he's a doer, not just a talker, and I really dig that.
Oh my God, he's like the 21st century P.T. Barnum. He takes adversity and like jujitsu flips these Jew parasites attacking him, and he turns it into his favor. It's amazing. The guy's, I mean, literally, he is a flamboyant 21st century public relations marketing genius. I mean, the guy gets thousands upon thousands of people tuning into his every live show. I mean, you know, I'm happy if I get 50.
See, talking gets old, and to hear that Handsome Truth dude is making a difference, that's real. I dig that. That's really cool. Now, Zach Meister, young man, rock on, brother. Rock on. Pick up the mantle and run with it, dude.
All righty. Thank you very much, and God bless you as well. I really appreciate your kind words.
Thank you.
Very nice of you.
You adopted Grandpa. Give me a call, brother.
That sounds amazing.
Chance would be a good one for sure. Chance has been at this a long time. All right, this next caller I do know, the man, the myth, the legend, the one and only Paul from California. Paul, welcome. What's on your mind?
Well, sir, another good show, the first hour. And since you spent so much time, well, not a lot of time, but you did, and your guest referenced National Socialism and the writings of National Socialism, which I'm a little bit familiar with. I'm sure there are many more people that are more learned than I. But I'm going to read a little bit. Normally, as you know, I do a free-form rant where sometimes I do housekeeping. I mock callers and other such things, which, of course,
right.
You know, let's face it, I think you appreciate in general. I've been taken to task recently a little bit by words that I've used or my manner and so forth, and as Conor McGregor like to say, I apologize to no one for any of this stuff. You know, one
good
of the reasons I do it, I feel it's my place because I can't fix other people's brains. I can only point out to them that they don't work properly. And on another occasion, I may go into, you know, some of the things I've encountered recently where I've been, for example, characterized or told that I'm not constructive, okay? But I take my cue from very great minds, and I've many times mentioned William Luther Pierce and one of the most succinct things he ever said, which is essentially that you must take and keep territory and exclude others, okay?
Yes, exactly.
So you couldn't say it any more succinctly than that, but here we go. I'm going to read you a little passage. You will probably guess where it comes from. It's actually paraphrased and edited by me, so here we go. The first right in this world is the right to life, provided one has the strength for it. A people's entire struggle for survival is, in reality, consists only of securing the necessary territory as the precondition for feeding and supporting their population. Every healthy people sees nothing wrong or sinful in the acquisition of land for survival, but rather something natural. Nature has not reserved this land or the land of your people for any particular nation or race, but on the contrary, this land, this soil exists for the people who possess the strength and the force to keep it and the industry to cultivate it. Nature knows no political boundaries. She puts living creatures in this world and watches the free play of forces. Nothing could be more observably true. There is no right, but only a struggle for survival. Nature confers mastery of this struggle on the strongest in courage and industry. Politics, therefore, is the art of carrying out a people's struggle for survival for its earthly existence. Here comes a nice little phrase you'll like here. Domestic policy, therefore, as part of politics, is the art of promoting the strength, health, and vitality of the people and preserving the quality of the people's racial stock and their numbers. Does our domestic policy match that, by the way? continuing. Got one more paragraph here. Anyone who wishes to banish this struggle from the earth by means of some misguided form of egalitarianism or communism may temporarily end fighting between men, but they would not eliminate this highest driving force, the struggle for survival, prosperity, and develop. Nature will, as a matter of course, allow the weak to perish and the strong to prevail. Destiny and history teaches only that a people can only and will only ultimately prevail in the struggle for survival by adhering to these natural laws in relation to population and territory. So I could say more. Care to guess where that came from?
Amen. That's Mein Kampf all day.
That's really well done, Paul. Yep.
Thank you. So for all you weaklings and you faggots that would chastise me for my brash manner of speaking and for the things that I suggest, I say only to you, get out of the way, okay? Get out of the way, because this is only about one thing. Who wins, all right? Now, you can say what you want about these vile kikes, as Giuseppe has so accurately portrayed them, these Jews that are ruling the world, but they are demonstrating that they're stronger and more determined than us. And all that I've ever suggested is that we think about winning, because guess what? Those who just want their liberty, their individual rights, those who just want to be, quote, left alone, will always lose to those who want to win. So for the moment, I'll rest, and thanks for hearing me, brother.
Oh, great call, Paul. Your thoughts, Zach?
Very well said. Is Paul still on? Can I say something?
I'm on.
Are you there, Paul?
Yeah, sure.
Wonderful.
Yep.
Paul, if I could recommend you a book, by the way you speak, if you haven't already read it, are you familiar with The Republic by Plato?
I've dabbled in it, but I've never read extensively.
This is a book I think you will very much like. From reading both The Republic several times and Mein Kampf several times, it will appear to you that Adolf Hitler took a lot of ideals from The Republic in his work. And I very much like the passage that you chose. I can recognize Adolf's words by the first sentence just about every time.
Thanks. And I'll leave with one little quick example just to sort of crystallize it. Because, as you know, Giuseppe, from listening to me over the years, and I like to portray myself, and actually one of the greatest compliments I was ever given was by a fellow radio host. I'll not name him, but he's actually not on the air at any particular station right now. But he got in contact with me, and we've been friends for a while now, and he told me that one of the reasons he likes what I say and the way I say it is because I engage what he calls in linear or compartmentalized thinking. I just keep going through all these gates, eliminating what is or isn't true or what is or isn't possible or the way that we should look at things and come to simple conclusions. So I just thought of this the other day. What if we were back in the time of swords and shields, right? Swords and shields and spears and men met on the battlefield. And we were in control of our own little valley. And in the other valley was this tribe, let's call them the Jews, for lack of a better word. And this tribe was occasionally coming over into our territory and raiding and stealing and poisoning our well and kidnapping children and, doing all sorts of nasty stuff, right? Would there be anybody in any group of men that was meeting and trying to decide what to do about this problem, would anybody be taken seriously if they said, well, maybe we should negotiate with them and maybe we should vote or maybe we should ask them to leave us alone or any number of other things short of matching what they do with what we do. So instead of they choosing the time and place, that maybe we choose the time and place. Like they choose 9/11, right? Or they choose any number of other things. They choose Sandy Hook. They choose to stick poisonous needles in us and tell us it's medicine and so on and so on. When we get it in our heads that we can flip this around by not buying into their brainwashing of, like, politics and everything else, then maybe we can honor the passages I just read and the sacrifices of our ancestors. And I'll leave it at that.
Oh, excellent, excellent observations tonight, Paul. Really well done. Zach, your thoughts?
Very good, and I really like that last analogy as well. Taking us back to the sword and the shield, you know, we're on that same playing field. We just got a little bit of a more of advanced society, which makes people feel more comfortable than they should.
Right, exactly. And as Giuseppe has pointed out in the past, and I believe he's correct on this, that historically these people were not known as warriors. I think Giuseppe has said that they were physical cowards, and that may be
absolutely
so. But we just have to get down to the basics, in essence, of what this really is, and it's a struggle for survival. We are dealing with murderers. That's
yep.
No other way to put it. we are dealing with murderers, and so for me, to have any other white man chastise me for the words that I choose or the attitude I convey, and so on and so forth, in my opinion, it really rubs me the wrong way. So,
100%, Paul. And it leads me to a point I wanted to make to Zach and you as well, Paul, though you already get it. It's like, instead of being all about, like, Bishop Williamson, the feels, and feeling bad for these faggots and these lost teenagers who want to cut off their genitalia and their breasts, and oh, we're going to support you, you're lost. No, you need to understand that the Jew, the eternal poisoner, has introduced glyphosate into the food stream, and had we not had such a corrupt Jew-controlled FDA, it never would have made it. The all the garbage and heavy metals and poisons and in every injection, bisophenol A in every spaghetti and soup can. These vile Jews, these vile kikes, have purposely poisoned 3-4 generations now. So instead of feeling sorry for these lost casualties of war, we need to understand that they are lost, and we need to go after who's done it, not, oh, poor little Janie wants to be Johnny, or vice versa. Bullshit. Go after the Jew who poisoned your son or daughter. So your thoughts, Paul, and then Zach.
Well, I'll just only say, yes, of course, you're absolutely correct. I always respected your insight, your knowledge, the way that you put things on radio. I believe that we're similar in that regard. And yeah, somebody else I don't know, but a friend of a friend just recently died. They were in their 60s. They were about probably, I think she told me, they were 6 or 7 weeks removed from a booster. And, they died suddenly. And, so this is the world in which we live. People just don't get it yet. And there's no reason not to be pissed. I mean, this is one of the issues I've had with people. They can accuse me sometimes, well, maybe I don't play well with others, that kind of a thing. And there's truth to that, because I have very little patience for people who are not pissed.
Yeah.
Great point, Paul. Zach, your thoughts?
I greatly concur. Feelings absolutely need to take the side here. And like everything else in our history, logic and reason has to prevail in order for us to do anything of positive value.
Logic, reason, and courage. Yep.
All right, thanks.
Anything else, Paul?
That's it. Thanks, guys.
All right, man. What a great call. Great call.
Thank you, Paul.
All right. This may be a caller from Australia named Scott. Scott, welcome. What's on your mind?
Yeah, g'day, Giuseppe. Just like to say, we love you down here in Australia. And Paul, am I coming through?
You're coming through great, Scott.
Paul. No, it's a joke, because I know Paul hates that. And great commentary from Paul, too. He's always very, concise. He's very well-spoken, and we appreciate what he does. And also the feuds, a little bit of feuds, touch-ups between the regular callers. That's always fun to hear.
Sure.
Giuseppe?
Yes, I hear you, Scott. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, that's all. Yeah. It's always fun to hear you guys, and you're smashing the nail down, and that's what we've got to do. And the way you don't dance around the subject. You tell people what the subject really is. So, you're giving them a head start, because anyone who doesn't hear it like that, they're going to keep going through the education system, and it never leads anywhere. But Giuseppe, I wanted to touch on something, because I know tomorrow's the anniversary of the great plot to get us into the Middle East and stuff like that. That's all it was about. I'm sure some people around, they've delved into the 911 and controlled demolition. They've probably danced on it. So it's a pretty interesting issue to, it's a good one I think we should exploit. What I wanted to do was just break down the three easiest steps that I think can prove, you know, to in the most simplest form. But have a listen, see what you think, okay? So, you know the phrase, jet fuel doesn't burn, you know, steel beams and that?
Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the first 30 seconds, all the fuel got burnt, mostly outside the building. That's what the huge fireball was all about. That's the jet fuel.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's no more jet fuel, in the building. You know, so that just dispels that myth right there. Okay. I want you to picture, okay, you know, they say it doesn't melt steel beams or whatever, or thermite, you know, melted steel. That's not what they say. You know, they say, it came down in a pancake collapse. You know, that's what they say. But, you know, to people who reckon that, you know, something burning on the 93rd floor can travel down, 100 and melt that steel structure. Like, how many meters tall is the world, you know, there's meters and meters. So if we just say, like we talk about a welder in a workshop, you know, welding a big steel pipe, right? He's welding down the end, right? It's like 10 meters long, 8 meters long. You know, it's big, thick steel pipe, right? He's welding it. But the point is that when he's melting it at one end with his welder, well, the other end is stone cold. So, do you see where I'm going with that? Like, you know, heat up high doesn't travel very far at all.
Right. Okay, clearly, Scott, as you have sussed out, and almost all of us who investigated, that the laws of physics were suspended that day. And you know, to me, one of the great tragedies that's occurred the last 20 years is everybody intentionally, by the disinformation agents, has tried to focus on, well, this is exactly how it happened. Who cares? It happened. Who did it is the only salient point, in my opinion. Zach, what do you think?
Super agree with that. The average person, you know, we always hear this, jet fuel does not melt steel beams, right? And they never kind of go beyond that and try to figure out, okay, well, you're right, but who's doing this, you know? And it's important that the average person starts to wake up and start to think about that, because if this was done intentionally, which, you know, people like me and yourself, and I'm sure you as well, Scott, know that this was done intentionally, obviously somebody had to have a reason, and it's important that we get to the bottom of that reason and who did it.
Great point, Zach. Anything else, Scott? Oh, okay. All right, let's see. We got time to start another call. Let's welcome Paul from New Jersey. Paul, welcome. What's on your mind? What would you like to discuss with Zach from Logos Revealed?
Yeah, I want to bring up a blast from the past. And this is going back just to refresh our memories, because a lot of people, I think, should have an egg on their faces. Particularly, that would be Alex Jones, Nick Fuentes, and Andrew Anglin. Because, fellas, the Kanye fad, what happened? What happened to Kanye? Remember how they got behind him? They almost said, like, he should run for president, right? They had him on their shows. And now he's not on their shows that much anymore. He's not on Alex Jones lately. Alex
helped
him.
Yeah,
but there has been sightings. And what's interesting is when you approve of Kanye West, you are tacitly you're a Kalergist, and you believe in the Kalergi plan, because you think it's fine that Kanye West dates Armenian women. And by the way, these Armenian women, I consider them in the white category. So,
What's the name of those people with the K? Kardashians. Are we talking about the Kardashians?
Yeah. Okay. He was married to Kim Kardashian.
Right.
And sired four mulattoes with Kim Kardashian. And Alex Jones and Nick Fuentes and Andrew Anglin thought he was the greatest guy in town.
Right.
For a while. Remember that?
I do, indeed.
Yeah, so it's just we have to bring this up. Now, there has been a sighting, and this was reported in the Daily Mail about 10 days ago, where, and Kanye is such a good Christian man that we all get behind. He divorced Kim Kardashian, or they're getting divorced. And now he's got a new white woman. She's a Brazilian model and complete prostitute, but she's very attractive. But nonetheless, our hero, Kanye West, he's out with a Brazilian woman in Venice. Now, I'm part Italian like you, Giuseppe, right? And I don't really like it when Negroes come to Europe so much. Why can't they go to Africa? They're so Afrocentric. Remember that a while ago with Beyonce, she did that video, what was it called, Ape Shit? And they were in the Louvre. Remember that? That was about 2 years ago, where these Negroes come to Europe instead of ever going to Africa. Notice that?
That's a great point. Let me interject a second, Paul. That is exactly right. In fact, you're talking about a bunch of Muslim countries, the Arab Emirate Republic, Qatar, all kinds. They have more money than they can do with. They're all Muslims. Why aren't they taking their fellow Muslim brethren in? They're homogeneous as a population. Why are they going into Europe and Canada and the United States of America? It's clearly, oy vey, I can't figure out who's behind it. So, there you go.
Well, it's for conquest, ultimately. But the one thing about Kanye, now get this, so he's in Venice, Italy. And he's on one of these boats. It wasn't one of the ones with the guys with a mustache rowing. But he was on a boat, and he's sitting there with his ample buttocks exposed, nude, right? Obviously getting filleted by his Brazilian harlot in public. Uh-huh. And obviously somebody took a photo of this. So we have the hero of Alex Jones, Nick Fuentes, and Andrew Anglin from 6 months ago. And he's over there getting filleted in Europe by a Brazilian prostitute on a boat in public. And I'm just like, these guys have to be held accountable for their inability to assess character. You know, they can't assess the character of an individual. And by the way, this goes even back to 2016, when they assessed that conservatives in America assessed that Donald Trump was a better presidential candidate than Rand Paul. Talk about bad assessment of character.
No doubt. So let's get Zach's really thoughts on this, Paul. Paul, hold on a second. Zach, your thoughts on what Paul's been saying so far?
Yeah, I mean, look, when we look at something like Nick Fuentes and these guys promoting Kanye, you make a good point. They're essentially promoting, you know, what we call this civic nationalism, where, sure, everybody can be in our country as long as we just root out the evil people up top. And, you know, this isn't the kind of society that we wish to produce. Us enlightened individuals understand that mixing these people into our society is going to cause nothing but horror.
Paul, stay on the line. After these messages, we'll get back to Paul from New Jersey and Zach from Logos Revealed for the final 30 minutes. Stay tuned.
Tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
CBDC, hyperinflation too, impending doom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a horrible world. I see skies of blue, trails of white, can't tell if you girl or guy, and I think to myself, what a horrible world. The colors of the rainbow are painted on the sidewalks. Those cultural enhancers stab you passing by. I see friends dropping dead, saying, you take
back in. It's a shit show, and I think to myself, what a horrible world.
All right, welcome back. That's the brilliant Bolt Rocker who does the most amazing parody songs, and that's his take on the famous Louis Armstrong song, What a Wonderful World. Except thanks to the Talmudic Satanic Jew, we literally are living in a horrible world. And I'm going to read a list of every problem that the Jew has caused decent, high-trust white societies. Communism, Marxism, Zionism, the Holocaust, 80 million dead whites in World War II, usury banking, the Holodomor, Russian Revolution, endless wars, African slave trade, feminism, open borders, mass migration, white replacement, critical race theory, 9/11, the USS Liberty, race mixing, 1965 Immigration Act that opened the borders when we were 95% white in this country, Max Quaxination campaign, COVID-19 is a Jewish scam, transgenderism, pedophilia, that's the Talmudic hallmark of their Bible of Satan, child trafficking, sodomy, organ trafficking, porn industry, BLM, Antifa, and the Federal Reserve now since 1913. And that's why, thanks to the Jew, we live in a horrible world. Your thoughts, Zach?
Certainly agree. I have nothing more to add to that one. Perfectly on point.
Yep, that's it. So let's get back to the calls. If you can, support RBN. Wild Pastures is great stuff, and there's so many other great products. Or if you just got a couple extra magic shekels in your pocket, send a donation. But support Republic Broadcasting. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and help out the station. All right, we'll get back to Paul, New Jersey. Go ahead, Paul.
No, I pretty much summed it up. I threw that out there. I think some of these people who are leaders, in at least in the alt-right, we have to hold their feet to the fire. We have to remind them of their failed prognostications and, you know, their when they get things wrong. And we have to be honest about when we get things wrong, too, and try to right. pick out from amongst us the guys who get most things right. And one fella who does that, I think, is Kyle Hunt over at Renegade Broadcasting. And from what I've been hearing, it seems like he's going to stop doing broadcasting at Renegade. Maybe they ought to bring him over to RBN. You know, fellas?
Oh, I didn't know that. Kyle's been around a long time. He also has a great website for information, Renegade Tribune. Kyle's yeah. a very strong alpha male personality, so he's had conflicts with many other hosts over the years, but you know, I've seen a lot of his work, and I agree with you. It's very good work.
Yeah, well, he's been very good at assessing Trump's character, you know, back 4 years ago, or six, more like seven now. But he seemed to get that right. Anyway, gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you, Paul. And Zach, I'll ask you this. Paul brought up a great question about Alex Jones and the like. And I'll tell you what, I saw this montage clip this past week that I don't follow a lot of these guys. But I saw both Alex Jones and Joe Rogan, both like, I forget what this tranny's name, very passable. I mean, a good looking tranny, you know, there are some. And Alex and Joe are both, oh, you know, you're a real woman. Oh, yeah, my body's telling me you're a real woman. And all this nonsense. And it's just, you know, to me, Zach, and let me get your thoughts. When you're at that level of the Alex Jones or the Joe Rogan, and you're literally making, you know, millions upon millions of dollars to do what we do essentially for basically nothing. You know, we get some donations, but, you know, pays the internet bill. That's about it. And so, but when you get to that level, if you don't toe the line, you're not going to be at that level anymore. That's just the bottom line.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think these guys, based upon the character that they have built up or the side that they're gatekeeping for, mm-hmm. Their towing the line is a little more lenient. They don't have to be as over the top, but you will see they do slim little picks like that. You know, especially when you, I actually used to watch Joe Rogan, before I woke up to all this stuff. And mm-hmm. when you watch his show, it's consistent promotion of drugs.
Yes, right.
And it's trying to keep this youth into a small little box of consistent drug usage where they're not actually producing or providing anything for themselves, but rather they're wasting away stagnantly.
Great point. Well, our next caller is well known to many listeners, a former RBN host, Lark from Texas. Lark, welcome. What's on your mind? Hello, Lark. Are you there?
Can y'all hear me?
I hear you now, Lark. How are you?
Okay, yeah, just fine. Nice to hear y'all. And it's good to hear you, Zach, a fresh voice to the airwaves here at RBN. I just want to point out just a couple things, just for fun. Number one, the famous painter Raphael painted something called the School of Athens. It's a fresco, and you can look it up, the School of Athens. Well, in the center of that is said to be Diogenes of Sinope. Now, Diogenes, in his lifetime, remember, he's the guy that was wandering the streets of Athens looking for an honest man.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, he used to mock Plato and his student Aristotle almost religiously. So you have to ask yourself why. And then we also have to ask why Diogenes is no longer taught in the public schools anymore. Because when I was a child, Diogenes was mentioned right alongside Socrates and Aristotle and Plato and usually Pythagoras or Democritus, etc. Mm-hmm. But as it turns out, Plato extolled this thing that he called the noble lie. And when you look into the noble lie, you get into the true character of Plato, I think. And the other thing I want to point out is that Please investigate Diogenes of Sinope and the beef he had with Plato and learn why. Because I think truly he was currying favor with the powers that be at the time, whereas someone like Diogenes was a pure truth teller, I think. But to move forward, you mentioned National Socialism, both of y'all. I just want to point out an article that you can search on the internet. It's real simple to find. And you'll see at the top of this article is a series of quotations from famous men, including Adolf Hitler in Mein Kampf. And the title of the article, easily searched, is called Rights, Responsibilities, and Communitarianism. And the website that it's on is called Friesian.com, which is named for a post-Kantian philosopher named Jacob Frederick Fries, Fries. But that's the article. Read the quotes. And then when you remember that, you know, he had some difficulty with Hegel in his lifetime in Germany. They were contemporaries. And the author of this article, again, titled Rights, Responsibilities, and Communitarianism, says very plainly in the first two or three paragraphs that Hegel is rightfully called the father of totalitarianism. And so you have to ask yourself why that could be. And I think what happens is we get to the bottom of this issue that we fail to address when we talk about the Jews. And I could say some things about the Armenians and their admixture and their association with Russian mafia. Mafia spelled M-A-F-I-Y-A, because I've had personal experiences with these people. I'm not sure that they're altogether white, but be that as it may, I think I may have lost my train of thought in trying to conclude, Giuseppe, but we have to ask ourselves, all the people that are not Jews in this country and in, shall we say, white countries, European, those of the Commonwealth nations, etc., how is it that so many non-white people are going along with this agenda and have been for some time? I think we could easily explain away this phenomenon with a broad brush. But if we focus on just today, we have to ask ourselves, is that really a winning formula to attack 2 to 8% of the population and all of the Christian Zionists? And all the people that have been brainwashed since their days in grade school.
Mm-hmm.
Is there not a better way to attack this monster, this beast? And so I leave that to you to decide. Huh. Anyway, I hope that's been helpful, but I think there's a better way. I think there's a better way, and so I would like to think that more people start to think the same thing, because I just don't think that in white bread America today, when you get out and about and you start to organize, whether on the internet or not, around this agenda of the Jew, and by not naming the Jew, we are part and parcel of the problem, I think we're only addressing really just a tip of the iceberg. That's a small part of the issue. The real issue is more complicated than that, although it is reducible down to a plan of action, I feel, that we can wrap our heads around to actually make sense, given the realities of the on the ground in which we all live. But anyway, thanks for allowing me to weigh in, Giuseppe.
Sure, Lark. Anytime. It's always enjoyable to hear your question. And Zach, your thoughts, and then I'll give my response to Lark's idea.
I very much like his reference of the School of Athens. I'm actually very familiar with the photo. I actually have it as my header on Gab, and I greatly appreciate that. I think it's one of the greatest works in European history. And he added a little something about it that I didn't know, and I was interested to hear that. So I will certainly look into that, and I appreciate you bringing that up.
Zach's a studied, learning man, and he's been at it a long time. But and I acknowledge his point, and I, you know, but here's my reply: is that it's not the Armenian mafia that has infiltrated our government to the highest levels in the State Department, in the military. It's not the Armenian mafia or other institutions funding elections down to the local school board level in service to Marxist Bolshevik 2.0 communism, which Lark likes to call communitarianism, which is a very much more sophisticated psyop than old school communism. It's not the Armenian mafia who is trying to create the Jew world order and the one world government and one world religion, all based in Jerusalem. So I think that it's not the Armenians who took two tranny child mutilation clinics in 2008, one in Boston run by a Jew, one in Richmond, Virginia run by a Jew, and now there's hundreds, all driven by Jewish profit and Jewish intent on destroying white European legacy. So I think that it's okay, and I admire anybody who is an intellectual like Lark to say there's other, but the bottom line is it's the fucking Jews who are doing all this. And if we take care of the Jewish problem, I'm more than happy to look at all the other problems. And so with that, do you want to say anything, Lark? Otherwise, we'll move on. I'm sorry, Zach.
I only brought up the Armenian issue per Paul in New Jersey's telephone call regarding Kanye West and the Kardashians. And, of course, the Kardashians are much ballyhooed in the media today. But when I look at those Kardashian girls, I mean, I'm sorry, I don't see white girls.
No, I agree. Yeah.
You know, and then I look at their, their body types are really more suitable for an African males.
No doubt, without a doubt.
You know, I mean, I can't find those women attractive in the least. But anyway, it's good that we have these conversations, and I hope that we can continue them.
Of course, absolutely. I always welcome your calls, Lark, and you have a great week. Let's move on to Vinny in Indiana. Vinny, welcome. What's on your mind?
Hello, Zach. Hello, Giuseppe. I've been following some of these people doing the different flyering campaigns, and there was one named Weaver who was on with Dave Gahari, and he talked to David Duke, and, you know, there are people trying to shut him down, but he seems particularly, really well-organized and a really kind of a good sense of what he was doing. I'm kind of skeptical about the people doing the flyering campaigns in, like, Jewish neighborhoods. I mean, it's kind of nice to see all the kvetching, but it's not like you're going to win converts. But the targeted targeted flyering campaigns in areas where you're going to get people who are receptive, people who are like, you know, white middle class people who don't, or and working class people who don't want to get involved in another war for Israel. That's where you're really, that's where I'm seeing big payoff.
Sure.
And, you know, and I think I was watching the Kanye thing. I mean, Kanye was always going to have, you know, he had his mental breakdown. The Jews attacked him. It got attention. It got young people thinking, what's going on here? And, you know, that was only a moment in time. But, you know, when Fuentes went back on Alex Jones, Alex Jones kind of made a fool out of himself, saying, hey, Mark Green fought against Hitler and all this stuff. You know, Fuentes did have his moment of really being composed. And the end result was that people were calling into Alex Jones saying, oh, you know, I'm a Christian Zionist, and my kids now are telling me, you know, they're rejecting my Christian Zionists. They don't want to fight another war for Israel. And, you know, that was, you know, that's where I think you're seeing real progress, and people, you know, should be hopeful.
Excellent point, Zach. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's great to see that people are breaking out of that, especially that Christian Zionist mindset. It's a horrible mindset, and it's driven our people back majorly. And I agree with your assessment on, you know, targeting. I don't really like the word targeting because the media uses that in a very negative fashion. But keeping our campaign in areas where we know that the people that are receiving these flyers are going to be the most receptive. And I actually recommend for myself when I talk to people, some of the best houses to flyer are people who have a "Don't Tread on Me" flag somewhere on their property. These are people that are
smart,
openly stating that they do not trust the government, and it's a matter of now telling them, well, who is in your government and who controls that government?
Absolutely. And I was watching this channel called Jameson's Travels, and he's an ex-Marine, and he's talking about how the military's gone totally woke. But he started playing all these clips of young people who clearly have been impacted by some of these flyers. You know, they clearly are saying, you know, I'm not going to fight another war for Israel. And he was looking into the recruiting, and he says, like, you know, the guy was saying, like, you know, he's a boomer guy. Like, where's all this coming from? And I think that, you know, if there's going to be another false flag, you know, it might be an assassination attempt against Donald Trump or something like that. But if we can get the Zoomer generation prepared, not like the millennials, who when 9/11 happened, you know, they were pre-programmed by all the Schindler's List and Band of Brothers and all this Spielberg propaganda, and you know, they got marched off the war. If the Zoomer generation doesn't react the same way, and, you know, Israel picks a fight with Iran, and hey, we're not going to come to your aid. You know, that's what we got to see. And I think they're doing, I mean, the guys who are doing this flyering, I mean, it's having benefits.
I agree. That's a great point. And that's my take on it. Zach, what do you think of the flyering?
I certainly agree. I think it's very old school, right? I mean, this is literally what our founding fathers did. You know, Thomas Paine wrote Common Sense, and they were throwing these pamphlets everywhere, which, not to mention, or what we should mention in Common Sense, he blames, our founding fathers were trying to get away from hereditary monarchy and the system of it. He actually credits the Jews with the creation of that and complains about that in Common Sense. So, in a way, we're really copying Thomas Paine.
You
very
guys
true.
Have a good night. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Vinny. Great call. And before we get back to the other callers, I want to mention two things. The King of Sunday Night, Robert Ravold, and Sandy Radio will be live tonight. That's great for all our fans of Robert, including me. And then tomorrow from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 p.m. Central, you can do the math, and the other time zones. There's going to be a very special live event at inblackandwhite.net. That's the website where the brilliant Dave Gahari, white nationalist, and the brilliant Ayo Kamathi, black nationalist, got together to discuss the Jewish problem in an episode season one. And there's going to be a season two, which is great. But tomorrow, it's going to be Ayo Kamathi and David Duke, Dr. David Duke, having a discussion, and the theme is, can black people and white people work together to defeat our common Jewish enemy? And that should be a great discussion. So that's live tomorrow, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern at inblackandwhite.net. And now let's move on to John in Delaware. I know this guy. Welcome, Paisan. How are you?
Hey, Paisan, what do you say, Giuseppe? What do you say, Zach? How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Giuseppe, you stole my thunder. I was going to mention that. You just did about Dr. David Duke and Ayo Kamathi tomorrow. Good deal.
Yeah, that's going to be good. That'll be really good. I'm looking forward to watching that.
Absolutely. Hey, I had a guest request. I actually had talked to Zach on his BitChute channel about this. If you guys ever get the chance to interview Dennis Wise.
Well, you know, actually, I can tell you, I have looked into Dennis through Dave Gahari, and Dennis is having some serious health issues right now, so he's working on getting his health back first, but there's a good chance, if he's feeling good in the future, that I can get him on, but in the short term, he's got some serious health challenges he's working on.
Okay, gotcha. And I love them parody songs, Giuseppe.
Yeah, me too. And, hey, you turned me on to a couple that I'm going to be using in the weeks ahead. Yeah, me too. I love the parody songs. It's so creative.
I got a few more to throw at you. And
all right, right on.
I know you can get a copy of Mein Kampf from Money Tree Publishing.
The good version. The good version. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. And amongst some very good books and DVDs.
Oh, Money Tree Publishing, if you have any interest in the truth about the Jewish malignancy, Money Tree Publishing is like candies in a drugstore. You know, the whole counter is good. Every one of those books will open your eyes. So thank you so much, John. I'm going to move on, and God bless you. And let's move on to Sharon in New Jersey. Sharon, welcome. What's on your mind?
Oh, God bless you guys. If I can't find the truth anywhere like you guys do it, I do donate. First question, only question, but because we're short on time. Jesuit priest Bernhard Stemfel, is there any truth to him helping Hitler or writing Mein Kampf? And I'll take my question off the air. Thanks, guys. Good night.
Good night. Thank you, Sharon. I appreciate you donating to RBN. I do not know of that information, Zach. Do you have any idea?
I'm actually unfamiliar with that name as well. I've actually never even heard of him.
Well, we're both going to be doing some research, I think. So, here it goes fast with a good guess. Well, Zach, will you come back in a few weeks?
Yes, absolutely. I'd love to do a show with you monthly.
All right, fantastic. Then it is. It's written in blood now, not my blood, though. All right, good night, everybody. Stay tuned for Robert Rabel. Have a great week, and stay tuned for Robert. All right, good night.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.